Lord, thank you that you have spoken through your word. We pray that we would be good listeners, that we would be the kind of soil that takes to heart what you have to say to us, that we would be those who hear and do your word. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. How do you respond to God's word? Stuart very helpfully challenged us last week as he spoke from the parable of the sower, the parable of the soils, about the different responses to God's word and the dangers in our lives of distracting us, hindering us, obstructing us from hearing and responding to God's word rightly. And today we're going to continue on in that vein, where Jesus speaks to them again about his word being a light to illuminate our lives, to show us truth to live by. And it really is a positive picture. How is it that you navigate through this world? How do you make decisions? What do you base them on? What information, what sources do you go to when you have a difficult decision to make to work out what to do? God's word is light, and Jesus calls us to let the light of his word illuminate our path, our lives, to expose our lives to his truths that we might live by them. We need to listen to God's word and let it light our path. We need to hold it out too so that others might come into the light. As a child, you might have sung the song, "This little light of mine, I'm going to let it shine, let it shine." You sing that song? "I'm not going to hide it under a bushel." No, or something like that. It's not one that was part of my Sunday school repertoire, but I've heard it before. And it's interesting. Though the phrase is the same here in Luke chapter 8, I think it has a subtle different meaning from what it has in Matthew, where the song comes from. So this phrase at the beginning of our Bible reading in verse 16 of chapter 8, if you have your Bible with you, you might look at it. It says, "No one lights a lamp and hides it in a clay jar or puts it under a bed. Instead, they put it on a stand so that those who come in can see the light." That phrase must be a common phrase. It was either one of those things that you say, like a wives' tale passed down from generation to generation, part of their tradition, or it was at least something Jesus said multiple times, because it is quoted in a slightly different context in Matthew, and then it's here in Luke, and it's used again in Luke chapter 11 in a slightly different way, where he's talking about the eye being the lamp of the body. And he uses this same statement again about how we should look at, our eyes take in what is light, not darkness, so our body is full of light. That's how he uses it in Luke chapter 11. So when we read this, we instantly have that song going off in our heads, which says the light must be our lives and our speech to the world, letting the light shine to the world, which is the context in the Sermon on the Mount when he uses it, because in Matthew chapter 5 verse 14 and following, here's what Jesus is quoted as saying: "You are the light of the world. A town built on a hill cannot be hidden, neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it on its stand and it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others, that they may see your good deeds and glorify your Father in heaven." So in Matthew, Jesus is obviously, he's speaking about us being salt and light in the world in that passage. It's just after the Beatitudes and just before he talks about how people are to live, the Sermon on the Mount, as different people and where righteousness comes from. He's clearly talking there about the light of our lives lived for Christ and speaking the gospel, shining out to the world, which is similar to our Old Testament reading in Isaiah, where they are to be light to the nations. But as we look at Luke, is the light something that shines from us or shines to us? Is it about our speaking or is it about our listening? We have to look at the context and read the passage carefully to see exactly what it is saying. Last week, when we looked at the parable of the soils, I'll ask you a question. Was the focus on how we speak or how we listen? What do you think? It's not a difficult question. Just shout it out. Listening, exactly. So the immediate context here is listening, isn't it? How we listen to God's word. And if you look there in your Bibles at verse 18, we see that that is the continued theme. Because the conclusion he draws, therefore, consider carefully how you listen. And so I think that here in chapter 8, Jesus is speaking about the lamp, not so that we would hold up our lives to others, but so that we would let the word of God that we're listening to illuminate our lives. That's how he's using this picture of the lamp in this particular passage, at least. We need to let the word of God illuminate our lives. That's similar to how Luke uses the phrase in chapter 11 with the idea of our eyes being the lamp of our body, and whatever comes in through our eyes will impact our whole body. So our whole body will either be full of light or full of darkness. And so we're to look at, take in wholesome things. It's about what we receive into us, as Luke uses that those words of Jesus. So the focus here is most clearly on how God's word shines truth into our world and into our lives. And we need to expose ourselves to the word of God, not hide it away, perhaps on a dusty bookshelf, not stay away from places like church where we will be exposed to the light of God's word. We need to allow God's word to shine into our lives. Now, there will be an aspect then of that lighting us up so that others can see that light. But it's not the focus of this passage at the moment. Well, why should we let God's word shine into our lives? Why should we live by it? Why should we navigate life by its light and make decisions by its truth? Verse 17 gives us one good reason. If you have a look there, chapter 8, verse 17, there is nothing hidden that will not be disclosed, and nothing concealed that will not be known or brought out into the open. Everything eventually will be exposed to God's truth and brought out into the open. Sometimes it's easier to live with our own version of truth, where I get to decide what's right and wrong and what's appropriate. In my own version of truth, you know what? I'm always right. And if I was wrong, then I just change the parameters so that I was right. Now, that's if I get to make up what is true and what is right, then I'll do it conveniently to suit how I want to live and what I want to do, of course. In my own version of truth, I'm always right. But to be honest, that's a fantasy world, and it will be exposed in the end. Now, it's not an easy or a simple thing to step out from our fantasy world and expose ourselves and our lives to God's truth. Sometimes we might be deluded that we're not even in a fantasy world, and we do that accidentally, come up with our own version of truth and deny God's word just because we're trying to justify ourselves even in our subconscious. It has been famously said, "You can't handle the truth," hasn't it? And sometimes that's, we've got to be honest. Sometimes we can't face the reality. It might mean confronting many of our own inadequacies and weaknesses. It might mean changing the way we live. It might mean admitting we've gone wrong. But since everything will be exposed and brought out into the open eventually, we're far better off living in the light now than trying to hide from it and live our own way instead. It's much better, isn't it, for me to tell someone that they can't sing before they go on The Voice and shame themselves on public television. Don't you think? It's much better to have the light of that truth exposed in their lives before it comes to full light before the nation. It's much better that I found out in the driving test that I need to work on staying in my lane than to find it out by the semi-trailer I bump into when I start driving on the freeway. It is important for us to know and be exposed to the truth. It might not always be easy to handle. I had great dreams about my singing career. You know, I was looking forward to getting out on the road, and I'm disappointed I didn't pass my driving test. But it's far better to know the truth. The truth is good. It's truth. So let's expose ourselves to God's truth now. Let's sit under his word and let his light shine into our lives. As the first part of 18, verse 18 challenges us, therefore, consider carefully how you listen. Are we able to listen objectively, carefully to the word of God, or do we have our predetermined bias already on so that we're not really hearing? Are we distracted by the thorns growing up in our lives that are alternative priorities so that we don't really hear? We're not actually listening. We're looking over the shoulder of God and paying attention to something else. Letting God's word light our life by listening to and obeying it. Well, it's not just about avoiding negatives. Now, that's the first reason to obey it, is that we avoid the negative of being exposed later. That would be a bad thing. But there's a positive given here now in verse 18, the second part of verse 18. If you have a look there, it also, being exposed to God's word, allows for joy and fullness in this life. Verse 18, the second half, whoever has will be given more. Whoever does not have, even what they think they have will be taken from them. At first glance, this just seems plain mean, doesn't it? You know, the people who have, it's not equality. It's, you know, separating people out. But let's think about what this means. Let me explain it in this way. God's word is like a pair of glasses through which we can see and understand this world rightly. So with a right understanding of the world, seeing through the truth of God's word, we actually get to see everything better. We have a better understanding of the world we live in and how to do well in it and how to flourish. Another way to think about how this works is the way faith expressed in a faithful God reinforces itself. Because when God demonstrates his faithfulness, he makes it easier for us then to put our faith in him. And it continues. Faith exercise gets stronger. When you trust your wife by opening up to her about how you're really feeling, and she proves faithful with that trust, she treats you sensitively and caringly, she doesn't go blabbing to her girlfriends about you, then your trust in her is further reinforced, isn't it? You're more likely to share deeply with her again. And that's how relationships grow closer. First, a trust in a little thing, and as that trust is honoured, then you can trust with more, and a deepening relationship occurs. So with God. As we actually trust him with our lives, by listening to and obeying his word, and he proves faithful to that trust, then we will be more confident to trust him again the next time, won't we? And so a deepening trust grows, a deepening faith in God, which is not an abstract blind thing, but it's based on his faithfulness to us over time. God is 100% faithful, and I'm sure most of us in this room can talk about the way we trusted God with our lives in particular circumstances, and he came through with the goods. When you trusted that not joining in the gossip or teasing someone was the right thing to do, even though there was peer pressure to do it, God showed you in time that his way was best. When you made the decision to trust God and not have sex until you were married, and over time he showed you that this has made your marriage all the stronger. When you pray for strength to cope with a difficult situation and God gives you that strength. All these times we see God's faithfulness in action, and it allows us to have faith in him all the more. Allows us to trust him. And so whoever has will be given more. That's reinforced. We can't always see God's faithfulness. Sometimes we don't have a big enough perspective to see what God is doing, and it sometimes can feel even like he's abandoned us. But he is. In any and every situation, God is working for the good of those who love him. And more often than not, when we put our trust in him, he proves himself, and so we gain greater assurance to trust him the next time. However, if I have a shallow faith in God, then I'm never exercising my trust in him, because each time there's a scary situation, I step back from placing my trust in him and he never has a chance to prove himself. Just like in the shallow relationship where you never actually entrust each other with something precious or make yourself vulnerable to the other person, how can that relationship go any deeper? Because they never have a chance to prove themselves faithful. And so you're never sure whether you can trust them. You've never tested that trust. It's a funny thing about relationships. They actually sort of need to be, you need to entrust yourself to a person to find out their trustworthiness. It's difficult because you're not sure. But if we don't, if we only have a token faith in God, I'm not really trusting him, just hoping to gain the benefits without the investment of actually trusting him, living in obedience to him, then even what I think I have will be taken away from me. That's a scary thought, isn't it? Real faith will grow. Real faith expresses itself in trust and obedience, and as I bask in the light of God's word, it helps me understand and live well in this world because I see it through the eyes and the truth of God's word. Living by the light of God's word brings so much richness to our lives. So God's word is a light that shines the truth into our lives. We'd be fools to hide it under a bed. We should treasure God's word, put it up on a stand, let it light our way, let it illuminate our lives. We need to consider carefully how we listen. For two reasons, one negative, one positive. As we've said, firstly, everything will be exposed and brought into the light of God's truth eventually, so you should step out into that light now to avoid embarrassment and judgment later. Secondly, God's word is a light to illuminate our way, and as we grasp and live in this truth, we'll be able to see the world better and our faith in him will be reinforced into a full life, trusting him, obeying him, our Creator, and flourishing in the light of his truth rather than floundering around in the darkness of our own wisdom. Luke then illustrates this point with an incident of Jesus and his own family. It disturbed me a bit to realise that I was preaching on Mother's Day from a passage where Jesus sort of rejects his own mum. Did you find that disturbing as we read it? In verse 9, we find a familiar scene. Jesus' mother and brothers came to see him, but, as usual, they were not able to get near him because of the crowd. This is the same sort of thing that happened when the four men brought their paralysed man along to see Jesus. They couldn't get at him because of the crowd. So many people in the house, they decided to go and dig through the roof. Luckily, Jesus' family doesn't have to go to such extents because someone goes in and informs Jesus that his mother and brothers are outside. You expect then a loving reunion. Haven't seen you for a while. Good to see you, Mum. Good to see you, brothers. But that's not what happens. Jesus' response is not what we expect. In verse 21, he says, "My mother and brothers are those who hear God's word and put it into practice." Now, I don't think Jesus is rejecting his family. He's actually just making a point. He loves his mum. He loves his brothers. But he's emphasising just how important it is to hear and obey God's word. When we trust and obey Jesus' words, we aren't just being servants, we're being family. Sometimes obedience is portrayed as the opposite of love. Have you heard that before? But that's not the way it is. Obedience sounds controlling. Obedience doesn't sound like a loving relationship at all. But if you really love someone, if you really do love someone and trust them, you'll do what they say. Or at least you'll listen to it carefully, won't you? Those two things do go hand in hand. The book of 1 John chapter 5 verse 3 puts it very clearly. This is love for God, to keep his commands. Well, they're not separate things, as if doing his commands is like a drone kind of grudging relationship. No, it's loving. It's an expression of love for him to do what he says. It goes on in 1 John, his commands are not burdensome, for everyone born of God overcomes the world. His word is for our good. By living in the light of God's word and truth, we are drawn into Christ's family. We love and are loved by him. We obey him, and he guides us through life by the light of his word. Jesus isn't rejecting his own family here. He's making a point about everyone who hears God's word and puts it into practice. Jesus loved his mother. You might remember it's recorded in John's gospel that as Jesus was dying on the cross, one of his last thoughts were to make sure his mother was taken care of. Mary was probably widowed by this stage with Joseph not around, because he's not mentioned throughout most of all of Jesus' adult life. And so on the cross, as Jesus was in agony, he looks to his mother. He looks to his beloved disciple, probably John, and he says, "Here is your son, here is your mother." And he commissions John to take care of his mum, because he's concerned for her and how she'll manage without him, the eldest son who would normally have looked after his mother, I guess. And so he wants to make sure she is looked after when he's gone. So Jesus cares for his mum, but he has a broader family that he cares for as well, and that is everyone who hears his word and puts it into practice. What a joy it is to have the light of God's word illuminate our lives, to allow its truth to speak into our lives, to live in trust and obedience to the unchanging truth of God's word. This world will be exposed to the truth in the end. Let's not be left wanting on that day. Of course, we will be. We know our sin, we know our failures. But let's expose ourselves to God's word here, now. Let's read it regularly. Let's regularly confess our sins, acknowledging them as Stuart has led us to do already this morning, and praise God for the forgiveness of Christ and the word of mercy and hope and joy that he brings into our lives. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you that you have spoken by your word, and that your word illuminates our lives. May we take heed to listen carefully at every opportunity. In Jesus' name, amen.